In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
How long are we talking about for Lopez with all these other injuries that we're dealing with?
Yeah, and a lot of other teams are really starting to make moves, guys. Over the weekend, Carl and I were talking about it. We'll touch on it more later in the show with Grant. But, you know, the Phillies get their closer. The Yankees go get a guy that can plug in anywhere in the field. You know, we're seeing Tommy Pham was a guy that I had mentioned might be a nice piece for us in the outfield if you don't want to spend too much money. The Dodgers and the Cardinals pull a 3-team deal with the White Sox, so he's off the market. A lot of pieces that kind of made sense for us are not there. And then there's a lot of pitchers that are starting to go away too.
All right, we're going to talk plenty more about our Braves with Grant McCauley here in the next 20 minutes, but right now, let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Connor Riley is here. We are counting down to the start of camp for the dogs, but we start with the story that everybody was talking about heading into the weekend, Connor, and I want to know what the latest is, if there's any movement on this story with Ra-Ra Thomas, and what do you know? I mean, it was pretty vague. I read the police report or whatever from Athens County, but we still don't know what exactly happened. All we know is that this is his second time, right, getting into some kind of issues like this with Georgia, being at Georgia, and now he has been suspended.
Yeah, Ra-Ra Thomas has been suspended indefinitely at 3:20 a.m. Friday morning. He was arrested by the Athens-Clark County Police Department on one charge of second-degree child cruelty, a felony, and 2 misdemeanor battery charges. Those are all carrying sort of a family violence charge. Family violence count. This is not the first time that Ra-Ra Thomas has been arrested on family violence charges. In January of 2023, just after he arrived at the University of Georgia, he faced similar family violence charges. Those were ultimately dropped as part of a pretrial diversion program. But it's the second time that this has happened with him. He is indefinitely suspended from the team right now. And obviously Georgia is going to allow this criminal investigation to play out. But given the fact that, you know, just days after Kirby says he doesn't believe in publicly suspending anyone, that Ra-Ra Thomas is suspended, it does not speak well for his availability for the team, obviously, to start the season, but I think for the entirety of the season moving forward. Just given all that has happened off the field for Georgia this season, this is just another thing that cannot happen to this program.
The thing that really struck Carl and I on Friday that was just really rough was there was more information that came out that Ra-Ra Thomas has also been speeding. And, you know, we've already talked, you know, it's one thing to have the alleged domestic abuse, but the idea that he gets pulled over being 30 miles over the limit, just less than a mile from where Chandler LaCroix and Devin Willick were killed. It just seems like, I mean, I know I'm not asking you to make excuses for the program. It just seems kind of like there's no way in hell the message is getting through to these guys.
No, and, you know, his most recent speeding ticket was July 11th, the day after a Small Munden's racing charge, and he was arrested for that. So, you know, I believe for the most part separating the driving stuff from Thomas's latest arrest are different cases. But in this case, with Thomas in particular, the message clearly is not getting through to him in whatever that might be. And, you know, Kirby Smart last month, they dismissed David Daniel from the team there. You wonder how much longer they're going to keep Ra-Ra Thomas on the team. And if we're not for an impending criminal investigation, maybe he would potentially already be off the team. We're going to get a chance to talk to Kirby about this on Thursday. And this figures to be a popular topic, given I think that there was some feeling last year when Thomas was arrested. Right after he gets on campus, you know, why keep this guy? And ultimately those charges are dropped. There were other things that Kirby had to answer at that point in time because it was the first time that we'd gotten to talk to him since the unfortunate passing of Devin Willick and Chandler LaCroix. But whereas the driving thing, yes, you can point to, I think, the message maybe needing to be changed up and not getting through. I think a lot of that falls on the feet of the players. I think Thomas getting arrested a second time in this manner as a member of the Georgia football program, that falls a lot more at the feet of Kirby Smart, especially when you brought him in out of the transfer portal and not even a month into campus. Well, yes, he ultimately those charges were dropped. He still finds his way into negative headlines.
Let's talk about the defensive side of the football. I'm curious to know how much or if anything changes with co-defensive coordinator and safeties coach Treverius Robinson coming in. I know that Kirby's had a history with him. We know Will Muschamp's not going to be a part of this because his son's at, Vandy, I think it is. And, you know, he's taking a step back. But what changes? What stays the same? And how much does he bring to this coaching staff?
Yeah, this is a guy Kirby Smart has long respected, long battled on the recruiting trail. He's recruited throughout the SEC, South Carolina, Florida, Auburn, former player for Auburn under Tommy Tuberville. And then these last 2 years at Alabama, and with Will Muschamp wanting to take a step back, get to go watch his son Witt play for Vanderbilt this coming year. He's still going to be on the staff as an analyst. But bringing in Robinson, I think, who knows and speaks a lot of the same language that Will Muschamp does, is going to allow for a seamless transition there in terms of the coaching change. And I'll be interested in seeing what kind of ideas Robinson brings into this defense, because yes, you know, Kirby's always going to be heavily involved, especially at the safety position. But if you really pay close attention to this Georgia defense, it's been different as, you know, the key figures in it have changed over the years. The Dan Lanning defense was different from the Mel Tucker defense. The Glenn Schumann defense was different than the Dan Lanning defense. I'm going to be interested in seeing what kind of input and how this Georgia defense changes schematically, structurally, with Treverius Robinson coming in, because that co-defensive coordinator title, while yes, it might seem like a title, it's not nothing, and he's going to have a rather vocal voice in that Georgia defensive room, specifically in the secondary there for the Bulldogs.
Talking with Connor Riley about the Dogs, guys, on the waitfor.com hotline. Just to bring it back to the offensive side, as Carl mentioned, Ra-Ra Thomas isn't like the 60th guy on the roster. He's going to be a major contributor. So what does a wide receiver room look like if Ra-Ra Thomas is off the team?
Yeah, this is a guy that they thought was going to play a big role, missed the second half of last season last year due to a foot injury. But with him gone, I think the two guys that really you count more on at that outside wide receiver position are Colby Young and Dylan Bell. Colby Young, a transfer from Miami, a guy that they really like, had a really strong spring and really impressed in that spring game there. 3 catches, 27 yards and a touchdown, and just has a physical presence that I don't think anyone else on this Georgia team possesses. And so he's going to be a guy in the red zone, in those key third down areas Georgia's going to look to target. The other guy is Dylan Bell. This is a guy who does a lot of different things for Georgia, has been compared a little bit to Deebo Samuel at times. That's something he's welcomed. But this year, you know, last year he was playing running back for Georgia in part because they just weren't as deep there. That's not the case this year. He's been developing all offseason at that wide receiver position. And he's a guy that a lot of teammates are excited to see him go out there and make plays. You saw it a little bit last year in that Tennessee game, touchdown catch, touchdown pass, had a really strong bowl game against Florida State. And I think this is a guy who, with more reps, more opportunities, is going to really emerge as every down playmaker for Georgia. And now with Ra-Ra Thomas potentially off the team, he's going to have an even better opportunity to do so.
Malachi Starks was talking about him, wasn't he, Dylan? Wasn't he saying he was one of the guys that we should watch out for?
And Malachi Starks is not the kind of guy that's just going to praise someone to praise someone. If he's doing something like that, it's because he's seen Dylan Bell do stuff like that in practice.
Speaking of practice, what are we talking about this week? You said you'll talk to Kirby Thursday. Is that the first official day? What are we talking about? What's it look like?
Yep. Fall practice starts on Thursday. We're going to get a chance to talk to Kirby, some players. We may or may not see practice. We'll see how that goes. We'll see how Kirby Smart's feeling that particular day there. We'll talk to coordinators potentially at some point during the month of August. I know there are a lot of people interested in what Mike Boba has to say, Glenn Schumann there as well. And we're slowly but surely getting closer to the start of the season here. A little less than, I think, 3-4 weeks now from Georgia's opener against Clemson at the end of the month here. So I know there's a lot of people excited. And, you know, for some people out there, you know, teachers in Fulton County went back to school today. We got an email from UGA last night sort of outlining what this week is going to look like. Summer might be over for some of us, but that means fall is just one step closer here.
And one thing that came up last week as we were talking with our man Connor Riley from Dog Nation, that's K. Connor Riley on Twitter to follow him, was the video or the pictures that somebody came out, and we don't know if this was staged, but Branson Robinson looked like an X-Man. We know that Trevor Etienne will be the lead dog in that running back room, but Branson Robinson looks like he's ready to do some damage.
Yeah, Branson Robinson, while that picture is not of him specifically, he is one of the most imposing players on this team, and how he comes back from a torn patella tendon that he suffered last August, I think it's going to be one of the more interesting storylines to follow. He had a really strong freshman year on that 2022 team, but obviously missed all of last year. I think they're going to be cautious with how they bring him along, knowing this could potentially be a 17-game season for this Georgia football program if they go play for a national title, which they have intentions on doing so. And you're going to need guys to be healthy, not just throughout the season, but at the end of the year as well. And so with Branson, with him in particular, coming off the serious injury, early on, I think Trevor Etienne and Roderick Robinson are going to be the two main guys in that Georgia running back room. But as the season develops, as Branson gets more comfortable with his leg, and obviously from a physical standpoint, he has everything you would want, I think that's a guy who, as the season goes on, as we get into those November games against a Florida, an Ole Miss, a Tennessee, that's where maybe you really start to see Branson Robinson make his mark on this team.
Great stuff. Looking forward to hearing what Kirby and the staff has to say as we start chopping wood, right, come Thursday. Appreciate it. Tell the people where they can follow your stuff.
Yeah, if you guys can follow me on Twitter at @KConnorRiley. We've got depth charts, injury reports, the whole thing coming out this week.
Good stuff. Connor, take care, man. We appreciate you. And Mike, we'll be talking plenty about the, you know, obviously the Clemson game, right, getting there. You are going to be at week zero, and then obviously the Dogs play that following week,
right,
that Labor Day weekend. It's going to be big, man.
Coach Kirby Smart just 2 minutes ago tweeting, "Go Dogs." On Twitter. So we'll see. Again, another commit, more egging. As always, you know the hustle, Carl. It's 24-7, that recruiting class. And he continues to bring in people, as does Kalen DeBoer in Alabama, who's apparently got some big leads for next year as well.
He got a kid out of California, D lineman. And whenever he gets a guy, if you're wondering, whenever he just says that, that's what that is.
Something's going down.
He never says the words. He just always says, "Go Dogs." All right, coming up, Grant McCauley's next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk some baseball with our buddy Grant McCauley as we go around the yard. Braves are able to split a series up there in New York. And Grant, the main thing now is what the latest is on Ronaldo Lopez. So let's start there before we get into breaking down what happened with these games and looking ahead to Milwaukee. He had forearm tightness. Were there any signs? Did you guys see or hear anything prior to them, you know, taking him out of this game?
No, not prior to that. And this is just kind of a unfortunate development that the Braves have seen all too much, where somebody is dealing with an injury. And obviously, out of an abundance of caution, you don't want to push it too far. But now they just find themselves once again trying to figure out, you know, what the plan is and how they're going to overcome not having yet another starting pitcher. This obviously on the heels of the Max Fried news week before last, but maybe get him back soon. But obviously, until we get that MRI result, you just don't know what this could mean. And obviously, the Braves and the rest of baseball have a lot of things riding on the next, well, about 36 hours.
Man, it just seems like there's about five or six things that this was a grocery shopping list that, I mean, right at the top of my head, you could look at, and now maybe add pitching. Just, we were talking about, just for clarification, do you feel there's anything to think about big picture that if you would take on a pitcher with some salary that maybe you'd move on, he'd be a starter next year because Max Fried's not going to be here?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that could be in there. And I think that, you know, when you're typically, you know, making these moves and putting together the, I guess, the calculus of it all, you'd love to have him around for a longer period of time, especially if you're going to part with some valued prospects. But, you know, it really just kind of, I mean, there's a lot that could go on. Max Fried obviously is a free agent at the end of the year. Charlie Morton could retire. And then you've got the question about, you know, getting Spencer Strider back, but when exactly is that going to happen? So a few different questions to think about. So, yeah, if you could get somebody that had multiple years, I think that would be something to look into. And considering the money that you'll have, you know, coming off the books with obviously Max Fried to figure that out in free agency and or Charlie Morton, who, again, is going year to year at this point, you've got some flexibility to do that, but they'll also have to be comfortable, I think, with the possibility of going over the third tax threshold in the luxury tax, which is something that's pretty wild to say, considering that I still see people out there that can either confuse or accuse Alex Anthopoulos and the way he's doing things of being cheap.
It's Grant McCauley. The one thing that we can at least get excited about, let's hope, we saw multiple home runs from guys in this series the last two games. I mean, we outscored the Mets, you know, 13-2 in these two victories. So, is that a positive? Is it a turn for Olsen and Riley and Arcia and some of these other guys?
Well, I mean, it's definitely a turn. And I mean, and I'll just go ahead and stipulate and throw out there. I mean, Austin Riley's been doing his part for the better part of a month and a half. So I don't really look at him in the category of guys who are struggling anymore. He, to me, looks like somebody who's completely figured it out and is back to being the guy we expected him to be. But for Matt Olson, I mean, this, again, and I've talked about this on From the Diamond. I've talked about this with you guys, I'm sure. This is the linchpin of the Braves offense if you're going to get it going and have it producing the way that it needs to. This is a guy you expect to be your cleanup hitter, to provide power, to produce runs, and that simply hasn't happened this year. But I think that as we see him to start driving the ball the way he has in the series and collecting some base hits, some of them getting a little bit better batted ball luck, maybe we're starting to see something turn for him. He is the one guy that you've got to see it turn around for, regardless of anybody else that you bring in and really anybody else in the lineup that could really give you that chance where you feel like you can produce the runs you need for this pitching staff, which, again, has its own set of questions.
Are they married to Kelnick? I mean, if Kelnick continues to struggle, the idea they'd bring in. I remember I was asking you about Tommy Pham. He wound up going to the Cardinals in a three-team deal. But I know a couple of our audience members have asked us about Bellinger with the Cubs, if they decide to move him, you know, once he's healthy. No, but what, getting back to Kelnick, will they try to upgrade and maybe and disregard a potential logjam in the outfield next year?
No, I don't know that. I mean, the logjam you got to think about because, as you know, you got Ronald Acuna Jr., you got Michael Harris, both on longer-term contracts. Jared Kelnick has four more years of team control, and I think that they value that. And obviously he's shown in part this year reasons why you can, but it's not going to make him immune to going through slumps. And he's in a 3-for-59 right now that's kind of taken what was a very promising season and just put him in the midst of what a lot of these hitters have gone through. And I think there's some pressing that's going on. We saw the bunt play that went wrong over the weekend in New York. I mean, just some different things where you just want to simplify and get back to it. And I don't think they're giving up on Jared Kelnick just because he's had, you know, what has amounted to a bad 2 or 3 week stretch. Now, if it goes beyond that, could they look for somebody else that would, you know, supplant him and get more playing time this year? Absolutely. And I think you got to be open to that kind of stuff. But it doesn't mean it's the forerunner to a bigger trade going on or moving away from Jared Kelnick just based on a couple of 3 weeks of poor results.
All right, Braves making some moves. Here comes Darius Vines. Talk to me about what this is going to look like from a rotational standpoint after tonight.
Well, I think that Darius Vines is here for mostly in the event that you need to cover some innings after Grant Holmes gets done. He'll probably throw 3 to 4 innings to start the game, and then you've got to figure out a way to cover the rest of it, considering that your bullpen, unfortunately, with what happened to Ronaldo yesterday, they had to cover the final six innings of that one, and we are in this string of, what, 16 straight days with games and the doubleheader that kicked it all off thanks to the immediate rainout coming out of the All-Star break. So bullpen management, adding some length there. I don't know that he'll be in line to start on Tuesday. That starter's to be determined. But you've got Grant Holmes in what amounts to a bullpen game, and then you're going to have Chris Sale in the finale. But obviously Tuesday, I don't know that I need to tell you guys, but I'll mention it anyway. It's a trade deadline, but I don't know if that means that the person walking through the door is going to get to start or the Braves to make that deal.
You think we're going to make multiple moves, or you think it just, or do you feel that Alex is just looking at this and saying it ain't our year?
No, I don't think that that's really part of his DNA. And I was kind of going back through because it's come up a lot about 2021. And I mean, I could dredge up some of the social media, the receipts the kids are calling them about what the Braves should do at the trade deadline 3 years ago. And look what happened. And that's not to say, I'm not sitting here, you know, just glibly saying, and it'll happen again. Just wait until they win the World Series. But you give yourself no chance if you don't actually go for it, try to make your team better. And I looked at the laundry list of assets that Alex Anthopoulos parted with to go out and get Jock Peterson and Adam Duvall and Eddie Rosario and Jorge Soler. It was Casey Kalick, Bryce Ball, Alex Jackson, and Pablo Sandoval. So Alex can find ways to get deals done without absolutely gutting the farm as well.
Right.
And I think that he's earned, I would imagine, the trust of most Braves fans that at the very least, when he says he's going to try to make the club better, that he's going to go out there and do the work.
I just know that we're seeing other teams. Now, again, some of these players might not have fit, you know, what we were looking for, but it just, it gets us back to the argument that, look at the Phillies, man. The only thing really missing on their lineup was a closer. They went and got that. We saw, you know, the Yankees looking for something. They went and got Jazz Chisholm. Throw some names at me, something that you might think we'd see in the next 24, 48 hours.
I mean, I don't know what the names are going to be. I mean, the one that I looked at that would make a lot of sense for the Braves and a lot of other clubs looking for some energy and some power was Randy Arozarena, and he ended up being what I would call the first big domino to fall in this whole process. But, I mean, the White Sox have already traded Eric Fetty, who was a veteran pitcher we saw with the Marlins, who went overseas, had some success, came back, signed a multi-year deal. He's, you know, heading to the Cardinals. But Garrett Crochet is still out there, and if the Braves were, to your point, Mike, you know, looking for somebody with multiple years of control – and the opportunity to set somebody up in their starting rotation for a while and someone who's only making $800,000, maybe that's the name. But what we have to part with, what the prospect price going to look like, there's, you know, reports that Crochet wants a long-term extension if he's going to pitch in the playoffs, doesn't want to work in the bullpen, so on and so forth. Not that I think anybody's getting him to put him in the bullpen, but he is far and away beyond any innings limit that he's had over the course of his young career because he's already had Tommy John and was drafted just back in 2020. So I give you all that background to say he's an intriguing name. He's having a great year, and you could have him for years and years. And if you decide to sign him long term, that might be an answer for the Braves or any other club. If you're going to part with top prospects, why not get somebody that's showing some big results at the big league level that you might get depend on for years to come?
I like it, Grant. I'm with you on that. We will see how this shakes out. If there is any breaking news, we'll be reaching out and certainly waiting to hear from you if the Braves do make some kind of move before the deadline. Tonight it's Milwaukee. We'll see what shakes out there as well. Grant Holmes, first start for him as he debuted back in June, guys. But this is a guy that spent 10 years in the minors. Grant told the story. So he's an interesting dude. Hopefully he can help us get a dub tonight. Grant, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, great story, great name. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Grant Holmes. Yeah, man, 10 appearances all out of the bullpen. But he spent 10 years in the minors. We'll see. All right.
Yeah, man, it's eastbound and down. He is the living embodiment of Kenny Powers in a bullpen start tonight.
True enough. What do we got coming up in Guy Talk, Mike?
Hey, man, baseball catcher is about as tough as NHL players. Who took one in the nose today and went right back in the game? We'll tell you about that. And Charles Barkley spilling the tea on Dan Patrick about, yeah, Turner might not have the NBA, but Turner's got a big Charles Barkley contract that they got to pay. You'll hear what he had to say coming up next.
Long.
Where the players play, we'll be up at our residency at the Hooters Mall of Georgia. Dukes and Bell up there Tuesday, Wednesday. Hooters, the Taj Mahal Hooters, as we say. We'll be at practice, and Paz will be popping, swinging on cuz on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. We were talking earlier in the show. On Friday, we were asking us and, you know, the audience and you and me about the, you know, the interest level for the Olympics. I found myself, because we watched much of the opening ceremony real time.
Sure.
And they've edited it down, rebroadcast it at night in prime time. And the numbers were the best they've had since 2012. So people are watching. NBC is getting the return on their investment. What did you think of the opening ceremony?
I loved it. I told you I was going to record it. We were up there watching a little bit, and I really couldn't pay attention. You just saw some of the pyrotechnics and some of the scenery, but I went back, Mike, and I thought, again, this is what draws you in, right? Even if you're not interested, you're like, oh, this is cool. The pageantry of it. You see all the athletes that are going to participate. And then if you get interested, all right, well, now maybe I want to go back and see what these guys do. I thought they did a great job of showing off Paris. And more importantly, you know, this is about, right, part of it is like showing what they are all about. And right. I thought they did a really good job of that. You've been there numerous times. I just felt like it had a really good touch to to the opening ceremony.
It's going to be, in, you know, again, if we do it, when we have it in Los Angeles, it's going to be American-centric.
Absolutely.
And LA-centric.
Absolutely.
One thing, though, I'd love, and it's funny, because we were at the bar at Hooters watching, there was a singer all in gold, and we're like, who's that? And anyway, apparently he's a French Malian pop star named Aya Nakamura. She's apparently the most listened to French-speaking artist in the world. That was the scene where she was dancing with, they had the French Army Band. Remember the band was actually grouping with her? And she's coming, and that's the,
I've never heard of her, but
me neither.
I don't, you know.
Because I was looking it up, and I was like, okay. But that was really cool. And then a lot of folks didn't know where, you know, if Celine Dion was, where she was, is she healthy? Can she sing? And that was pretty, you know,
moving.
Dramatic. And yeah. I know even Chirico was like, whoa, damn. The only thing was, you couldn't have an opening ceremony without some controversy. A lot of folks felt that the fashion show with the Last Supper mashup to the LGBTQ thing was kind of a bit over the top.
Okay.
And that's the one which has gotten basically people of the Western Hemisphere a little upset.
I get why. I understand why. But you know what? You push the limits with these things, right?
I just thought, like, if you're going to do it, just own it. I thought it was kind of sheepish for the director to go, oh, there's nothing to do with the Last Supper. It just seems to be a large woman with a halo. And everybody identified the image when you saw it. Most of you pretty much knew where they were going with it. But, yeah, that's the only thing which is drawing a lot of heat over here in the States and in parts of in South America and in Catholic countries, too.
I understand why. But, yeah, I think that in these opening ceremonies, and we've seen this time and time again over the years with the Olympics, there are statements made.
Right.
There are
the inclusion. Some people say, here we go. So that was the way it was received over here in the States. Meanwhile, Charles Barkley and TV and Turner and everybody upset that this is probably going to be the last year of our favorite TV show, NBC, I should say the TNT and NBA, now that NBC, Amazon, everybody's getting in the mix. Charles Barkley goes on Dan Patrick's show and said, you know, Turner's going to have to make some decisions here because I've kind of got a big contract with them.
You know, my intention right now is to retire. So, Dan, I've never said it before, and I'll share it with you because you know I got a lot of love for you. So my deal, there's been a lot of numbers thrown around about my deal, which I always find fascinating, but I've never told people exactly what my deal was. So my deal is 10 years, $210 million. Next year will be year three. Turner has to come to me today or next week and say, hey, we screwed up. Will you take a pay cut? So they're either going to have to guarantee the whole 10 years, 210, or they're going to have to ask me to take a pay cut, which under no circumstances am I taking a pay cut. Zero chances of me taking a pay cut. So then I'm going to say, I'm going to politely decline taking a pay cut because TNT's been great to me. And they're going to have to say, we're going to guarantee the whole 210 or Charles Wade Barkley is going to be a free agent after next year. So it's going to be a very interesting next few days.
And now we wait and see because, like, again, you know, one of the things when you think when you give a guy a 10-year contract is you're going to have the actual, you know, property for him to broadcast and cover. But now they're going to lose it to Amazon and they're going to sue. They're going to, again, longtime partners, you know, this is going to end in a courtroom, Carl, over there. They felt that they were still able to match the Amazon deal, but Amazon can front load some of the money and get more money in the owner's pockets in the NBA.
I love him. They're not going to pay him. And it doesn't make sense to unless contractually, Mike, they cannot get out of this deal.
Right.
I do not know how ironclad it is, but I will tell you, he's going to be a free agent. And they will cut the check, obviously, for everybody next year because you're still under contract. Mm. But with no property to recoup that money, meaning the NBA, which was the property in which you used to try to recoup that money, you're just going to cut them a check for that amount of money and you're telling everybody else you don't have the money for the NBA? I don't believe that's happening. So, and by the way, we said this last week. He's going to be fine.
There'll be some kind of remedy here, but again, Charles does have a contract that he makes it quite clear. Speaking of the broadcasting basketball, I said it's Ian's son, Noah Eagle, that's on the broadcast for NBC because Ian's with CBS. But listen to Noah. Great job. And a lot of folks are loving the chemistry with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was part of the TNT family, but he's with NBC now, and maybe this is the start of something big.
Michael Jordan photo that I have, my first one. Oh! Controlling everything.
Yeah.
Full maestro.
Yeah, man, I'm digging the vibe. You know, you can't just manufacture chemistry, but Ian Eagle's son Noah, he's been on the fast track.
Yes,
and
yes.
It is what it is, but he's been doing good, and him and Dwayne sound good together.
Yeah, sometimes, Mike, we talk about it, right? It's not necessarily a play-by-play guy. Sometimes it's your partner that brings out whatever it is in you that makes you sound even more appealing and better. But for D. Wade, you asked me this. You said, have I heard him call games? I hadn't. I haven't heard D. Wade call games.
Right.
But we know he knows it, and we know he's cool with all these guys, and it makes it a lot easier in this environment, certainly the Olympics. But either way, man, maybe he's got a bright future.
Something today, I hadn't seen the game that he was calling today, but I already saw on social media that he said, what's with this flopping? This ain't soccer. But we'll see about, because immediately somebody was saying, come on, man, the NBA, they flop about as much. No, nobody flops as much as South American soccer teams. We got some breaking news?
We do. Y'all going to be really happy about this.
Lay it on me.
Comcast and Bally's has reached an agreement. The Braves return on August 1st to Bally's Sports.
August 1st. Okay, so you got to wait a few days. We've been going round and round for our audience. Now, again, those with DirecTV, we have been screwed, but a lot of other folks have. And, again, almost like I don't even know how you would quantify it. Nearly half of the audience seemingly can't find the Braves.
No.
And now they will. August 1st.
Yeah.
And blue screen of death's going to finally go away.
It is. Y'all, right. I told y'all I'm going to be happy. Here's the deal, though. They had this hearing around July 18th, 19th, somewhere around there. This was all just process, you know, they had to go through it. But through that, they were able to get this deal done. So everybody who has Bally's or has been waiting on this to happen, it's finally back, August 1st.
All right, great news. Speaking of baseball, you can find this online. Just Google it. James McCann is the catcher for the Orioles. He's up at the plate, and he takes one. Pow! I mean, was it Jan Brady or Marcia who got it in the nose of the football in the Brady Bunch? Yeah. Either way, same thing. But 94.6 miles an hour from Yariel Rodriguez in the first inning. I thought, well, that's it. He's going to go hit the showers. Nope. They stick some cotton up his schnoz, gets back behind the dish, goes to work like a catcher should. Yeah, catcher's the closest thing to hockey, you know, as far as taking the heat and the tools of ignorance, as Bob Uecker and Joe Caraccioli used to say. But, yeah, man, pretty neat if you haven't seen the video. Hey, we're big fans of Formula One. The rules are enforced. I know sometimes you feel like they play loose and fast in some motorsports. So George Russell wins the race yesterday in Belgium, and the car comes in just about 3 pounds, 3.3 pounds underweight. So Lewis Hamilton gets the win. A lot of folks felt Mercedes.
Technicality.
And a lot of folks felt Mercedes kind of screwed Lewis because he could have run the same strategy and won the race himself. But Lewis gets the win, and that was interesting. Also found out that Carlos Sainz, the ladies' choice for Formula One. I'm Carlos Sainz, you know, the guy, very, very handsome man.
He's a good-looking dude. Yeah, yeah.
Well, from Ferrari, because Lewis is going there, he's going to Williams. He's going to be teaming up with Alex Albon, the American driver. Logan Sargeant got fired because he's horrible. I had a guy on Twitter today ask me, what's up? What's next for Logan Sargeant? I said, Uber. Anyway, appreciate you guys hitting us up on text. The news guys, really? Is that for real? Yes. One guy says, where am I seeing this? Orin, where are we seeing this? They just announced it, right? We're at Comcast. It's official, guys. August 1st, they'll be back. So what is today? Today is the 29th, so 2 days you had to wait, right?
Yep, just a couple of days.
Good job.
But yeah, and again, you know, we all have been, Mike, does this mean Braves about to go on a run?
You know what? Some would say in the summer of our discontent, part of this has been the cherry on the crap sundae that has been the Braves has been the fact you can't even watch this stuff. Maybe now Alex pulls something, he puts off some magic between now and six tomorrow. And then Thursday, you get back to watching the Braves on Comcast. All right. I'm excited about that. There's your guy talk brought to you by Dukes Bell. Hey, man, Ale. It's on draft at Hooters. Come see us tomorrow in Pola, Georgia.
All right, guys. Coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. Zach Harrison, what's going on with him? Richie Grant will tell you the latest coming off the weekend. And also, Steve Coonan's going to join us. He normally joins us on Fridays. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He was like, hey, I'll do Monday. So we're like, okay, cool. At 5:40, we'll ask him about all these contracts, and we'll get some NBA and Olympic talk in there with Steve Coonan as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Long. We had a Players Play. We'll be up at our residency at the Hooters Mall of Georgia. Dukes of Bell up there Tuesday, Wednesday. Hooters, the Taj Mahal Hooters, as we say. We'll be at practice, and pads will be popping. Swinging on Cuz on Wednesday. Looking forward to that. We were talking earlier in the show. On Friday, we were asking us and, you know, the audience and you and me about the, you know, the interest level for the Olympics. I found myself, because we watched much of the opening ceremony real time.
Sure.
And they've edited it down, rebroadcast it at night in prime time. And the numbers were the best they've had since 2012. So people are watching. NBC is getting the return on their investment. What did you think of the opening ceremony?
I loved it. I told you I was going to record it. We were up there watching a little bit. And I really couldn't pay attention. You just saw some of the pyrotechnics and some of the scenery. But I went back, Mike, and I thought, again, this is what draws you in, right? Even if you're not interested, you're like, oh, this is cool. The pageantry of it. You see all the athletes that are going to participate. And then if you get interested, all right, well, now maybe I want to go back and see what these guys do. I thought they did a great job of showing off Paris. And more importantly, you know, this is about, right, part of it is like showing what they are all about. And right. I thought they did a really good job of that. You've been there numerous times. I just felt like it had a really good touch to the opening ceremony.
It's going
to
be, in, you know, again, if we do it when we have it in Los Angeles, it's going to be American-centric and LA-centric.
Absolutely.
One thing, though, I'd love, and it's funny because we were at the bar at Hooters watching, there was a singer all in gold, and we're like, who's that? And anyway, apparently he's a French Malian pop star named Aya Nakamura. She's apparently the most listened to French speaking artist in the world. That was the scene where she was dancing with, they had the French army band. Remember the band was actually grouping with her and she's coming. And that's
I've never heard of her, but
me neither.
I don't, you know,
cause I was looking it up and I was like, okay, but that was really cool. And then a lot of folks didn't know where, you know, if Celine Dion was, where she was, is she healthy? Can she sing? And that was pretty, you know,
moving,
dramatic. And yeah. I know even Chirico was like, whoa, damn. The only thing was, You couldn't have an opening ceremony without some controversy. A lot of folks felt that the fashion show with the Last Supper mashup to the LGBTQ thing was kind of a bit over the top.
Okay.
And that's the one which has gotten basically people of the Western Hemisphere a little upset.
I get why. I understand why. But you know what? You push the limits with these things, right?
I just thought, like, if you're going to do it, just own it. I thought it was kind of sheepish for the director to go, oh, there's nothing to do with the Last Supper. It just seems to be a large woman with a halo. And everybody identified the image when you saw it. Most of you pretty much knew where they were going with it. But, yeah, that's the only thing which is drawing a lot of heat over here in the States and in parts of in South America and in Catholic countries, too.
I understand why. But, yeah, I think that in these opening ceremonies, and we've seen this time and time again over the years with the Olympics, there are statements made.
Right.
There are
the inclusion. Some people say, oh, here we go. So that was the way it was received over here in the States. Meanwhile, Charles Barkley and TV and Turner and everybody upset that this is probably going to be the last year of our favorite TV show, NBC, I should say the TNT and NBA, now that NBC, Amazon, everybody's getting in the mix. Charles Barkley goes on Dan Patrick's show and said, you know, Turner's going to have to make some decisions here because I've kind of got a big contract with them.
You know, my intention right now is to retire. So, Dan, I've never said this before, and I'll share it with you because, you know, I got a lot of love for you. So my deal, there's been a lot of numbers thrown around about my deal, which I always find fascinating, but I've never told people exactly what my deal was. So my deal is 10 years, $210 million. Next year will be year three. Turner has to come to me today or next week and say, hey, we screwed up. Will you take a pay cut? So they're either going to have to guarantee the whole 10 years, 210, or they're going to have to ask me to take a pay cut, which under no circumstances am I taking a pay cut. Zero chances of me taking a pay cut. So then I'm going to say, I'm going to politely decline taking a pay cut because TNT's been great to me. And they're going to have to say, we're going to guarantee the whole 210 or Charles Wade Barkley is going to be a free agent after next year. So it's going to be a very interesting next few days.
And now we wait and see because, like, again, you know, one of the things when you think when you give a guy a 10-year contract is you're going to have the actual, you know, property for him to broadcast and cover. But now they're going to lose it to Amazon and they're going to sue. They're going to, again, longtime partners, you know, this is going to end in the courtroom, Carl, over there. They felt that they were still able to match the Amazon deal, but Amazon can front load some of the money and get more money in the owner's pockets in the NBA.
I love him. They're not going to pay him. And it doesn't make sense to unless contractually, Mike, they cannot get out of this deal.
Right.
I do not know how ironclad it is, but I will tell you, he's going to be a free agent. And they will cut the check, obviously, for everybody next year because you're still under contract. Mm. But with no property to recoup that money, meaning the NBA, which was the property and which you used to try to recoup that money, you're just going to cut them a check for that amount of money and you're telling everybody else you don't have the money for the NBA? I don't believe that's happening. So, and by the way, we said this last week. He's going to be fine.
There'll be some kind of remedy here, but again, Charles does have a contract that he makes it quite clear. Speaking of the broadcasting basketball, I said it's Ian's son, Noah Eagle, that's on the broadcast for NBC because Ian's with CBS. But listen to Noah, great job. And a lot of folks are loving the chemistry with Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was part of the TNT family, but he's with NBC now, and maybe this is the start of something big.
Michael Jordan photo that I have, my first one. Oh! Controlling everything.
Yeah.
Full maestro.
Yeah, man, I'm digging the vibe. You know, you can't just manufacture chemistry, but Ian Eagle's son Noah, who's, again, he's been on the fast track.
Yes,
and
yes.
It is what it is, but he's been doing good, and him and Dwayne sound good together.
Yeah, sometimes, Mike, we talk about it, right? It's not necessarily the play-by-play guy. Sometimes it's your partner that brings out whatever it is in you that makes you sound even more appealing and better. But for D. Wade, you asked me this. You said, have I heard him call games? I hadn't. I haven't heard D. Wade call games.
Right.
But we know he knows it, and we know he's cool with all these guys, and it makes it a lot easier in this environment, certainly the Olympics. But either way, man, maybe he's got a bright future.
Something today, I hadn't seen the game that he was calling today, but I already saw on social media that he said, what's with this flopping? This ain't soccer. But we'll see about, because immediately somebody was saying, come on, man, the NBA, they flop about as much. No, nobody flops as much as South American soccer teams. We got some breaking news?
We do. Y'all going to be really happy about this.
Lay it on me.
Comcast and Bally's has reached an agreement. The Braves return on August 1st to Bally's Sports.
August 1st. Okay, so you got to wait a few days. We've been going round and round for our audience. Now, again, those with DirecTV, we have been screwed, but a lot of other folks have. And, again, almost like, I don't even know how you would quantify it. Nearly half of the audience seemingly can't find the Braves.
No.
And now they will. August 1st.
Yeah.
And blue screen of death's going to finally go away.
It is. Y'all, right. I told y'all I'm going to be happy. Here's the deal, though. They had this hearing around July 18th, 19th, somewhere around there. This was all just process, you know, they had to go through it. But through that, they were able to get this deal done. So everybody who has Bally's or has been waiting on this to happen, it's finally back, August 1st.
All right, great news. Speaking of baseball, you can find this online. Just Google it. James McCann is the catcher for the Orioles. He's up at the plate, and he takes one. Pow! I mean, was it Jan Brady or Marcia who got it in the nose with the football in the Brady Bunch? Yeah. Either way, same thing. But 94.6 miles an hour from Yariel Rodriguez in the first inning. I thought, well, that's it. He's going to go hit the showers. Nope. They stick some cotton up his schnoz, gets back behind the dish, goes to work like a catcher should. Catcher's the closest thing to hockey, you know, as far as taking the heat and the tools of ignorance, as Bob Uecker and Joe Caraccioli used to say. But, yeah, man, pretty neat if you haven't seen the video. Hey, we're big fans of Formula One. The rules are enforced. I know sometimes you feel like they play loose and fast in some motorsports. So George Russell wins the race yesterday in Belgium, and the car comes in just about 3 pounds, 3.3 pounds underweight. So Lewis Hamilton gets the win. A lot of folks felt Mercedes kind of screwed Lewis because he could have run the same strategy and won the race himself. But Lewis gets the win, and that was interesting. Also found out that Carlos Sainz, the ladies' choice for Formula One. I'm Carlos Sainz, you know, the guy, very, very handsome man.
He's a good looking dude, yeah.
Well, from Ferrari, because Lewis is going there, he's going to Williams. He's going to be teaming up with Alex Albon, the American driver. Logan Sargent got fired because he's horrible. I had a guy on Twitter today ask me, what's up, what's next for Logan Sargent? I said, Uber. Anyway, appreciate you guys hitting us up on text. The news, guys, really, is that for real? Yes, one guy says, where am I seeing this? Orin, where are we seeing this? They just announced it, right? We're at Comcast. It's official, guys. August 1st, they'll be back. So what is today? Today is the 29th, so 2 days you had to wait, right?
Yep, just a couple of days.
Good job.
But yeah, and again, you know, we all have, Mike, does this mean Braves about to go on a run?
You know what? Some would say in the summer of our discontent, part of this has been the cherry on the crap sundae that has been the Braves has been the fact you can't even watch this stuff. Maybe now Alex pulls something, he puts off some magic between now and six tomorrow. And then Thursday, you get back to watching the Braves on Comcast. All right. I'm excited about that. There's your guy talk. Brought to you by Dukes of Bell. Hey, man, Ale. It's on draft at Hooters. Come see us tomorrow in Pola, Georgia.
All right, guys. Coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. Zach Harrison, what's going on with him? Richie Grant will tell you the latest coming off the weekend. And also, Steve Coonan's going to join us. He normally joins us on Fridays. He's got a lot of stuff going on. He was like, hey, I'll do Monday. So we're like, okay, cool. at 5:40. We'll ask him about all these contracts, and we'll get some NBA and Olympic talk in there with Steve Coonan as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.